How long will I love you? Long as stars are above you, and longer if I can. How long will I need you? As long as the seasons need to follow their plan. How long will I be with you? As long as the sea is bound to wash upon the sand.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Babo. So Scarlett, you guess how many listeners are attracted by the title of today's program?
Maybe quite a lot.
36 questions to fall in love, surely attractive to those single dogs, right?
Just stop kidding. I choose this topic to talk about something serious.
Alright, let's get back to the subject. I know these 36 questions actually come from a psychological experiment in America.
Yeah, it's a study designed to create a romantic love in laboratory.
I think our listener must be curious about how to create a love story in a laboratory. Actually, the procedure is fairly simple. Two strangers take turns asking each other 36 questions, of course increasingly personal questions, and then they stare into each other's eyes without speaking for 4 minutes.
That's it. Of course, I'm a little skeptical about this process of the manufacturing romantic love.
Yeah, but one detail of this study really stuck out to me, and that was the rumor that two of the participants had gotten married 6 months later, and they'd invited the entire lab to the ceremony.
Really? This kind of story can't happen to everyone.
Yeah, just individual.
Hey, why don't we have this game and get to know more about each other?
You and me? Come on, we are not homosexual. How can we experience the feeling of love?
I know you are totally straight, but just give our listeners some inspiration so that next time they can use these questions to ask their preferred boy or girl.
Alright, let's do this.
First one, given the choice of anyone in the world, who would you want as a dinner guest?
Well, that's too many. Actually, I can hardly count them.
You can just give an example.
Then maybe Tom Hiddleston, Benedict Cumberbatch, and like I said, too many.
Okay, the second one. When did you last cry in front of another person? By yourself?
It's about 2 months ago, I think. Yeah, that's by myself.
Can you share the reason why you cry?
I guess I better keep it to myself.
Okay, next one. Tell your partner what you like about them. Be very honest this time. Think things you might not say to anyone you just met. Well, I think this question doesn't work on us. We are not first met after all.
Why don't we just stop here? You know, this whole experiment won't work on us. And by the way, if our listener really wants to use these 36 questions, they could just surf the internet to find out themselves.
You're right, then we can share a test speech I've just watched with our listener.
What speech?
Well, the name of this speech is Falling in Love is the Easy Part. Actually, the speaker herself tried these 36 questions with a stranger, and then the stranger became her boyfriend.
Really?
Yeah, and the speaker is a famous psychological writer in America, so she published her own story on New York Times magazine. Let's share this test speech. Falling in love is the easy part.
I published this article in New York Times Modern Love column in January of this year. To fall in love with anyone, do this. And the article is about a psychological study designed to create romantic love in the laboratory, and my own experience trying the study myself one night last summer. At first, I was of course very skeptical about the process of just manufacturing romantic love, but I was intrigued, and when I got the chance to try this study myself with someone I knew but not particularly well, I wasn't expecting to fall in love, but then we did. And I thought it made a good story, so I sent it to the Modern Love column a few months later. Now, this was published in January and now it is August. So I'm guessing that some of you are probably wondering, are we still together? And the reason I think you might be wondering this is because I have been asked these questions again and again and again for the past 7 months. And this question is really what I want to talk about today, but let's come back to it. So the week before the article came out, I was very nervous. I had been working on a book about love stories for the past few years. So I had gotten used to writing about my own experiences with romantic love on my blog. But the blog post might get a couple hundred views at the most. And those were usually just my Facebook friends. And I figured my article in the New York Times would probably get a few thousand views. And that felt like a lot of attention on a relatively new relationship. But as it turned out, I had no idea. So the article was published online on the Friday evening, and by Saturday this had happened to the traffic on my blog. And by Sunday, both the Today Show and Good Morning America had called. Within a month, the article would receive over 8 million views. And I was, to say the least, underprepared for this sort of attention. It's one thing to work up the confidence to write honestly about your experiences with love, but it is another thing to discover that your love life had made international news. And to realize that people across the world are generously invested in the status of your new relationship. And when people called or emailed, which they did every day for weeks, they always add the same question first. Are you guys still together? In fact, as I was preparing this talk, I did a quick search of my email inbox for the phrase, "Are you still together?" And several messages popped up immediately. They were from students and journalists and friendly strangers like this one. I did radio interviews and they asked. I even gave a talk. And one woman shouted up to the stage, "Hey Mandy, where's your boyfriend?" And I promptly turned bright red.
I understand that this is part of the deal. If you write about your relationship in an international newspaper, you should expect people to feel comfortable asking about it. But I just wasn't prepared for the scope of the response. The 36 questions seem to have taken on a life of their own. In fact, the New York Times published a follow-up article for the Valentine's Day, which featured readers' experience of trying to study themselves with varying degrees of success. So my first impulse in the face of all this attention was to become very protective of my own relationship. I said no to every request of the two of us to do a media appearance together. I turned down TV interviews and I said no to every request for the photos of two of us. I think I was afraid that we would become the inadvertent icons for the process of falling in love, a person I did not at all feel qualified for. And I get it, people didn't just want to know if the study worked, they want to know if it really worked, that is, if it was capable of producing love that would last, not just a fling, but a real love, sustainable love. But this was a question I didn't feel capable of answering. My first relationship was only a few months old, and I feel like people were asking the wrong question in the first place. What would knowing whether or not we're still together really tell them? If the answer was no, would it make the experience of doing these 36 questions any less worthwhile? Dr. Aston Aaron first wrote about these questions in this study here in 1997. And here, the researchers' goal was not to produce romantic love. Instead, they wanted to foster interpersonal closeness among college students by using what Aaron called sustained personalistic self-disclosure. Sounds romantic, doesn't it? But the study did work. The participants did feel closer after doing it. And several subsequent studies have also used Aaron's fast friends protocol as a way to quickly create trust and intimacy. They have used it between members of police and members of community, and they've used it between people of opposing political ideologies. The original version of the story, the one that I tried last summer, that's pairs of the personal questions with 4 minutes of eye contact, was referenced in this article, but unfortunately it was never published.
So the story that the media told about the 36 question was that there might be a shortcut to falling in love, there might be a way to somehow mitigate some of the risk involved, and this is a very appealing story because falling in love feels amazing, but it's also terrifying. The moment you admit to loving someone, you admit to having a lot to lose. And it's true that these questions do provide a mechanism for getting to know someone quickly, which is also a mechanism for being known. And I think this is the thing that most of us really want from love. To be known, to be seen, to be understood. But I think when it comes to love, we are too willing to accept the short version of the story. The version of the story that asks, are you still together? And is content with a yes or no answer. So rather than that question, I would propose we ask some more difficult questions. Questions like, how do you decide who deserves your love and who does not? How do you stay in love when things get difficult? And how do you know when to just cut and run? How do you live with the doubt that inevitably creeps into every relationship? Or even harder, how do you live with your partner's doubt? I don't necessarily know the answer to these questions, but I think they are an important start at having a more thoughtful conversation about what it means to love someone. So, if you wanted the short version of the story of my relationship, it is a year ago, an acquaintance and I did a study designed to create romantic love, and we fell in love, and we are still together. And I am so glad. But falling in love is not the same thing as staying in love. Falling in love is the easy part. So at the end of my article, I wrote, love didn't happen to us. We are in love because we each made the choice to be. And I cringe a little when I read that now, not because it isn't true, but because at the time, I really hadn't considered everything that was contained in that choice. I didn't consider how many times we would each have to make that choice and how many times I will continue to have to make that choice without knowing whether or not he will always choose me. I wanted to be enough to ask and answer 36 questions and to have chosen to love someone so generous and kind and fun and to have broadcast that choice in the biggest newspaper in America. But what I have done instead is turn my relationship into the kind of myth I don't quite believe in. And what I want, what perhaps I will spend my life wanting, is for that myth to be true. I want the happy ending implied by the title to my article, which is incidentally the only part of the article that I didn't actually write. But what I have instead is the chance to make the choice to love someone and the hope that he will choose to love me back. And it is terrifying, but that's the deal with love.